Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Joy Brown, Artistic Director of Strathmore.
And we're just having you in as part of this ongoing little catching up chat, taking the temperature of the DC music landscape and the surrounding area. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
So let's just give us a little history, both about Strathmore and AMP, which actually I live up around there. So AMP is the little smaller venue up by the Pike and Rose neighborhood in North Bethesda, almost Rockville-ish. And then Strathmore is the one that's still, it's a little north of Bethesda, but more close to the Beltway line there, near the metro there. But give us an idea of the history of both places.
Right. Well, Strathmore actually started in a mansion, that little tiny mansion that's right next to the theater. And it was a bunch of recitals, and it was some outdoor concerts, and that goes back decades. And then 12 years ago, the music center was built, which was a big step into the big world of touring artists. And since then, we've been keeping that room pretty full. And then just a few years ago, we expanded and went up the pike, and we stepped into the world of club programming, and we have a 230-seat nightclub, and that's AMP by Strathmore at the Pike and Rose.
What was the idea behind expanding? Just another space, or another space to do slightly different artists, or what was sort of the thinking of the second location?
Definitely expanding our bandwidth and the ability to work with artists at different levels in their careers. And I think that's what capacity does, and different kinds of capacity will do for an organization, is that artists play different capacities at different times in their careers. And to be able to work with artists at different stages is really driven by the kinds of rooms you have. So having a great little 230-seat nightclub allows you to catch a lot of artists on the way up.
Yeah, it's a little bit of almost like a little jazzy supper club vibe. It's a cool little vibe. Whereas Strathmore is a little bit bigger space. Give us an idea of and since we're radio, we'll have to paint a visual picture. But you know what? You pull into the parking lot and you enter both of these places. Like what exactly do you see? Describe the rooms for us. The two different places.
Well, Strathmore Music Center. When you walk in, it's very it's grand, and it's tall, and especially when the construction is complete, it's going to be even taller. And you're surrounded by beautiful wood. You walk into the theater itself, and you're just surrounded by the most exquisite curved wood. The artists that play Strathmore would call it a sanctuary. I mean, it really feels like a place where you honor great music.
Right.
So Strathmore has a very big, grand feel to it. AMP has a great upscale club vibe to it. You walk in and it's fun, funky furniture and big, tall windows. But it's got a great stage in the corner, an excellent sound system. And it really allows you to experience artists in a much more intimate way. So you really are getting a lot closer.
Awesome. Now, let's go into some of the acts that have played it both. Let's start with Strathmore itself, the big one. I know you guys do like a lot of National Philharmonic and, orchestral stuff, but also some bigger names, pop and everything else. Give us an idea of some of the people that have played there.
Right. It's a wild collection. The orchestras provide a great baseline of programming. And so there are, dozens and dozens of great orchestra concerts a year, and classical musicians love the room and call it home. But we've always done national touring artists. Tony Bennett's been in the room. Chris Botti has been in the room. Diana Ross.
She was recently.
Yeah, she came back again. This, I think, was her third time in the room. And we've also had, artists like Chris Thiele, Wynton Marsalis, just a huge range of phenomenal musicians.
So when you're booking those shows, what's sort of the niche you're looking for there with the type of artist?
We are everywhere. And I think that's the biggest challenge in the industry, is that because we have a wide range of audience to serve, both in terms of interest and in terms of demographics and backgrounds, we want to make sure that everybody sees something that they feel relates to their lives or is relevant to them when they look at our offerings. So that means world music. That means family programming. That means your favorite stars from Broadway, like Alan Cumming.
Yeah.
So it requires that we look at the industry in niches and try to research as many niches as possible. It's one of the biggest changes in the industry, is that there's so many more niches than there used to be.
Right.
And there's so many more channels where people can achieve celebrity.
Right.
So trying to keep track of all of these different niches and artists is one of our big goals.
And I'm trying to think of the other recent thing. Oh, it was the On the Waterfront concert with Peter Gajewski. Is that his name?
Right, yeah. Peter Gajewski was the conductor.
You guys do some of those cool...
Well, that was National Phil, yeah. National Philharmonic did that. They're bringing in great programming. Washington Performing Arts also brings in great programming and does a lot of our some of the recital programming. So it's a huge range. There's 365 days in that theater, and it's probably lights are on probably 150 to 200. So that's a lot of room to do a lot of different kinds of programming. So 1 minute we can be working with acrobuffo artists doing an air performance piece where things are flying around the air for children, and then the next night can be a really phenomenal jazz concert or a commission with a jazz artist.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, and switching over to AMP, I'm trying to think. Give us an idea of some of the artists that have been there. You talked how it's a little more of a jazz, dinner club kind of a vibe, nightclub. I'm trying to think who else. I think we've talked to Paula Cole, Lisa Loeb. Mm-hmm. There's all like that kind of idea. But give us an idea of some of the people.
Let's see.
This is where we pause and let you do it, and then I cut it out. Okay,
we did, Chris Cornell was in the room. Sometimes you get really
Chris
lucky.
Cornell, that's right. Less than a year before he passed away, I think.
Right. Right. So sometimes you can get, we call those underplays where artists are playing a room that's way smaller than they normally play. And that can happen at all different levels of the industry. Wow. Michael Feinstein played the room. Marilyn May, who's this, 85-year-old cabaret artist that still kills it, was in the room.
It was like just the original Frankie Valli and Jersey Boys did like a solo thing there one time. I don't know. It's all over the map.
Mm-hmm. A lot of cabaret artists, a lot of folk music. Sierra Hull has a great following here. She's a wonderful folk artist. Mipso has been in the room. So it's a huge range. We do some tributes. We do some classic rock. We do more intimate performances or where an artist wants to work in a smaller space to have kind of a captured small audience. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge range.
What's sort of the demographic of who shows up? Does AMP versus Strathmore get a different age range or same type of clientele?
There's definitely some overlap. I think a lot of the Strathmore patrons have found AMP to be sort of a hip, cool extension of their Strathmore mm-hmm. experience. You get a chance to have a cocktail or a martini and listen to some jazz music. And so it's an unstructured version of a high quality performance. So I think that there's overlap. It tends to slant a little bit younger, but I would say right in around the 40s, there's definitely some overlap, and there's some very cool 40 and 50-year-olds who show up at AMP and bring their dancing clothes.
Oh, in my book, some of the coolest people in the world are 40 and 50-year-olds, man. Right. I'd rather hang out with them any day. You've touched on it a little bit already, but crystallize this concept a little more for me in terms of of all the different venues in town. There's so many options from your Anthems to your City Wineries to your, it goes on and on, Wolf Trap. What do you guys see as sort of that, all right, this is our little angle, this is our slice of the pie. If you want this certain unique, different experience from all those others, like why is Strathmore or AMP? Like, why is that your one you're going to go to on this weekend?
I think Strathmore is a true music listening room. I mean, it's a great place to really listen to music. And some of the other venues are, Wolf Trap has a great space to kick back and do a picnic. Right. And Anthem has room to get people to stand and be close to the stage. Same thing with 930 Club. So I think the different venues allow artists to decide what kind of room they want. Some artists really want their audience to be standing. They don't want their audience to be mm-hmm. sitting down. So artists tend to gravitate towards the kinds of rooms that fit the feeling that they're trying to get with their performance. Mm-hmm. So I think we all bring something different to the table that way. I think what's interesting, though, is that we all end up working with some of the same artists, because artists, the whole artist world is very dynamic. They're at different stages of their careers. They're doing different kinds of projects. An artist might have a collaboration that works really well for Strathmore, but maybe is not the quite big enough to do at Wolf Trap. They may have another format where it's a huge show and it makes way more sense at Wolf Trap. So it's not sort of an everybody in their lane kind of programming. Right. There are artists that are changing lanes all of the time, and sometimes it works here and sometimes it works somewhere else.
Awesome. Do you have a personal favorite show that you've seen there over the years?
Oh, gosh, I have so many. we were actually just talking a little while ago about Goran Bregovic, who is a Balkan superstar. I mean, in the Balkan world, he is the equivalent of Sting and Billy Joel, sort of all rolled into one. And that performance was 2.5 hours of just pure celebration, and the audience was up in their feet. Every nook and cranny of the room was up and dancing and singing along with these songs that they knew and loved. So there have been amazing performances throughout. Wynton Marsalis's production of All Rise, which is 220 voices on stage, that was incredibly inspiring. It's been, there's so many different kinds that it's hard to put them on one, but I love when we do something that's completely different from what everybody else is doing.
Awesome. We'll keep doing it different from everybody else, and we'll keep coming. So
thank you
so much for coming in.
Thank you.